tiros en el arco, la defensa es colosal. González, Orlando, La Torre, Nicolás Fuentes y Chumpitas, Chale, Mifrin y Cubillas, y el gran Perico León, Bailón y Alberto Gallardo.
Hello and welcome to the Peruvian Waltz, a World Cup qualifiers edition, and an incredible, incredible result for Peru, a 1-0 win away in Colombia. I'm here with Kevin and Renato once again, an incredibly hard to watch game at times, an incredible result. Kevin, how did you feel at the end of that game?
Hey, Mike, just getting over the post-win hangover. And, man, it feels great. Man, I didn't expect this result at all. I knew getting the draw would be perfect, in my opinion, because it would keep us level. And then, you know, Colombia had an away game to Argentina, so I'm like, they're probably not going to get a win there. And while Peru would be playing at home, and had a higher probability of grabbing the win there against Ecuador. So I was in my head, I was like, all right, let's just get a draw. Let's just not lose this. And it's perfect. The win completely changed the outlook. And I'm so happy going forward.
Yeah, it was so hard, like I say, Renato, it's so hard to watch, wasn't it? But what a way to bring back the 3 points.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I was not, I think realistically a draw was going to be our case, because really, like, it's not easy to beat Colombia and Barranquilla, but we really did the shocking, and thanks to Gareca's like tactical planning and like decisions when it comes to the substitutes, we really got that like that amazing result. I can even say this, as Quito 2017 was our like shocker game in the 2018 cycle, I think Barranquilla 2022 is the game of the 22 cycle, and that is just what we needed, especially considering that it really hurt to still lose against Colombia at home in May or June, I believe, in the qualifiers. Is that was just satisfying to watch.
Yeah, so satisfying at the end of that. I see. So Orejas came off the bench and grabbed the goal in the second half. But then that first half was very, very difficult from a Peruvian point of view. And at one point early on in the game, Cuevas received the ball out on the left wing, and there's a lot of not much movement ahead of him, and it took a run from Tapia, and it was a great ball from Cuevas through about three players for Tapia to break into the box. But from there, it was just Colombia attack after attack after attack. Kevin, like, defensively, it was a hard fought battle throughout the game. That first half, we couldn't get out of the defense at all. There didn't seem to be an out ball.
Absolutely. Colombia was trying to smother us, and it almost worked. It almost worked. We have a little bit of luck on our side in that regards, that they really have just not been able to capitalize on any chances for not just yesterday, but like several games now. And then obviously, you know, Callens and Zambrano stepped up. I think they'll be the center back pairing against Ecuador going forward. I definitely think that we tried to play the game like we did in Quito, where we were just kind of hanging back, trying to let the time, you know, go by, just hold the result at least until halftime, and then see what we could do in the second half. I think that's how Gareca has been approaching these away games recently, and it's not a bad idea, because if you look at Colombia doesn't lose at home. I think they have only one loss this cycle. I think it's against Uruguay, and realistically, you know, Colombia has held Argentina and Brazil. They weren't expecting a Peru that they beat handily in Lima to be able to go over to Barranquilla and come out with the 3 points. That's I'm still ecstatic. I don't know if you guys can tell. Like, this result is massive for us.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So like you say, like Colombia didn't the way they were playing, they must have just, part of them must have been thinking, it's coming. We will, like, we're knocking on the door. Like, it's, at some point, this is going to go in. But like you say, Kevin, they haven't scored now in a qualifying game since September when they played Chile. They played six qualifying games without a goal now. Renato, like the way they came at Peru, it didn't look like they were without confidence. It didn't look like they were worrying that a goal wasn't going to come. They felt like Colombia seemed to think they would break through, but Peru just stood firm, and as a defense and with the midfield in front of them, they just were so organized and did so well for long periods of that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Gareca, like, in his tactical approach, is that the first half, you need to tire out the Colombian offense, because you notice that in the first half, like, players like James and Luis Diaz were going all at it on the wings and trying their best to score, especially with even link it up with Juan Cuadrado and even the fourth with Bore and Falcao. But with thankfully to some of our heroics with Guyans, who has possibly been the best quote-unquote signing ever since he came into the Peru national team as a starter. Carlos Zambrano really surprised me, considering I had my doubts on him, but he really shut me up. And I think of 2019 Copa America, Zambrano and him. But also, I thought Ronaldo Tapia was added to it, like, yesterday with the recovery. I do think maybe the midfield needed more, like, recovery. Maybe it could have been a match made for Wilder Cartagena or Pedro Aquino, but I do think, like, Sergio Peña and Yotun did their job. And I have to give credit to Yotun, because yesterday it did seem like he wasn't 100%, because I still think he was hurt after, like, having a knock from a few days ago as of this recording, where he couldn't start in training. But then when you look at, like, in the second half, where suddenly, like, Gareca, like, made the change for Edison Flores, that change was heavily questioned at first, because, let's be honest, before this game, Edison Flores was at a low point where he looks out of confidence. He doesn't look like his old self. We all thought it's all over for him. But then, like, that one counterattack movement of Christian Cueva running over Wilmar Barrios and passing the ball to Edison Flores. And then Edison Flores manages to shut everyone up and score us the winning goal. The moment I saw this, I knew that Edison Flores, there's still, like, hope in Edison Flores, that the 2018 cycle of Edison Flores is back, and I'm just happy he's back, because that guy can give you the goals in a Peru shirt when you need it the most.
Yeah, the midfield, like you were saying, had to work very hard. Like, Peña came off at halftime, and Yotun played for most of it. It wasn't a game for the for those centre midfielders to be going box to box and breaking forward and linking up. They were all doing a job alongside Tapia, and the chances for going forward were few and far between. And we're saying how Colombia looked strong, but it seemed at times they were trying to bully Peru a little bit. I mean, Yerry Mina picked up an early booking for just absolutely trying to flatten Lapadula. Luckily, he just got up and sort of looked up at Mina, just completely unimpressed. Gayese went down with doing some fantastic goalkeeping, getting on the end of, there's a through ball, I think, through by Hannes to Falcao that split the defence completely. But Gayese was off his line, and he was a huge part of keeping us level in that first half, Kevin. He's he was throughout the game. I mean, we'll go on to his second half heroics, but that first half, there was times where we looked nervous, I think, and having him and Kayans together with Tapia in front of them, I think it kept everyone's heads quite well when under some really difficult pressure.
Absolutely. And in the first half, we have to give a lot of credit to the defense and Galese, because we were just trying to hold on. Colombia was smothering us, as you said. They were, you know, they had an overly aggressive lineup, offensive lineup. You know, with Cuadrado as a fullback. You know, you had James, you had Falcao, Uribe, who likes scoring on us. They had all the tools to get it done. I don't think Rueda's game plan was bad in any way. Maybe my Colombian friends will disagree, but I think on his end, Colombia had a very well executed plan. It just didn't happen for them. You know, it didn't work, and that's to our benefit. Tapia put in work. Yotun and Peña, they were completely smothered, so they didn't really get a chance to create anything, in my opinion. So I think those subs were warranted in the second half. You know, especially Peña for Flores. I think Gareca saw that he had no one that was really shooting. We tried maybe one or two counterattacks in the first half, and La Padula was by himself. He would hold the ball, and it was like a surprise for us. Like, oh, we got the ball back. but absolutely. They definitely struggled in the first half. And then Gareca worked his magic in the second half to get us actually going as a team, to try to actually seek the result. And even then it was hard, because Colombia is a very good side. And at home, they, you know, with all their fans, they were definitely making it very difficult for us. I was sweating bullets at that point.
Yeah, it was. The first half especially was incredibly difficult. You say La Padula was alone. There was times. There's a point where I think it was Lopez was bringing the ball out from left back, and he found a bit of space to start venturing up towards halfway, but he had nowhere to go and ended up just hitting a long hopeful ball to La Padula. The only sort of half chance he managed to get was a poor back pass from one of the Colombians that could have been Mina again, which he tried to get back, tried to get through and link up on, but just couldn't quite get hold of the ball before going into the Colombia box. It was that first half. David Ospina must have had a good rest ready for the second half, which obviously didn't help him for when the goal went in. The only drawback, I think, from that first half defensively, Renato, there was a point at which Zambrano just collapsed to the floor, claiming like he'd taken an elbow to the face or something, but the game carried on around him. It was a very faint touch from Diaz. He just laid on the floor for 2 minutes, the game carried on going, and it put us under a little bit of pressure. Like, there's people have made their comments about Zambrano, whether he's 100% reliable. For me, like, throughout the game, obviously he showed as a group defensively, we did very disciplined and we did well. But that's a little bit of a worrying point with Colombia on the attack and the defender on the floor, wasn't it?
Well, I think with Zambrano, it's like I think the best way you can describe Zambrano is like, if he's either a big, big risk, or he's a savior. When he's like 100% focused / on the game, he will like defend for his life. But when Zambrano is like on like the pressure, I feel like that's where like things will just go totally wrong with him. And then you could see acts of aggression or unnecessary fouls were coming onto him. But thankfully he was on point yesterday. And I say he did a great job. Although I will say maybe that I think it was unnecessary to stay down on the ground for 2 minutes, because I feel like our defense just were freaking out of him. And I just think that Zambrano needs to know that just you need to stay like focused, because at times if you're not, it's going to cost us dearly. Now, thankfully he was on point. But I do also think that Miguel Araujo deserves a great shout out, because I think after he came off for Zambrano in the second half, Araujo was using his whole body. Like, and keep in mind, Araujo is not a tall center back. He's 5'10". Like, he's way shorter than like Yeti Mina or Davinson Sanchez. He was using his head to get rid of like any balls that was coming in for Colombia to score slash equalize. And I gotta say that was great on Araujo, and I think that was a good tactical plan of Gareca, because he knew that possibly there could have been a chance of Zambrano just being Zambrano and getting a red card at some point, and that Gareca needed to hold that result.
Yeah, defensively, it was the replacements who came in stepped up as well. They came in and they did a job that as part of a unit that was brilliant. It was almost just like there wasn't a change to a degree, wasn't there? Everyone pulled their shift and did exactly like what the game plan was for Gareca, how he'd set out the defense for the game. It was great to see from a sort of a discipline point of view and a tactical point of view. And going into that second half, again, under a lot of pressure from Colombia, there was a couple of big moments, I think, that early-ish on in the first half, after I think almost an hour, there's a point where James Rodriguez breaks into the box and looks to be waiting for a foul. Eventually, he just throws himself to the floor and the ball goes out for a goal kick. And you can see Aldo Corzo covering his mouth, having some strong views on his behaviour for that. Kevin, did you see that as a point where you felt this defence looks organised and they feel that they're in control over the Colombian attack?
Yeah, I think at that point we were getting in Colombia's head because it had been so long into the match and they haven't really... So they had a lot of shots, but they weren't quality shots. Galese, while he did great, he didn't have a lot of saves. I think it was maybe two key saves and then maybe some punches out of the box. So I think it was getting to Colombia at that point that they just couldn't finish the game. And you know what? It had been like five games previously where they also hadn't scored. So, you know, with their fans depending on them, their record up to that point, and the fact that this Peru was doing what they needed to do. They were holding on, and now you have players like Corzo. Realistically, he's the lowest rated player in that defense. He's the only one that actually plays in Peru. And for him to, you know, to be talking smack to the star of Colombia is, you know, you could see the momentum starting to move in our favor. Like, all right, we can at least hold the result, at least do this, and then start looking for more. Definitely props to Flores, who came in and created a chance as soon as he came in, was actually taking shots. I think that was, you know, the direction from Gareca is like, you know, it's great that we're, you know, holding the result until now, but if we don't take shots, like, we're not really competing. So he's, you know, he put in Flores, who, despite all, you know, criticism and whatnot, he's going to take shots. He's going to get into position. And he had at least two shots before the goal, if I recall correctly. Or he had one shot when he came in and then one shot where he was in the box and didn't shoot because he was trying to get it onto his left foot to shoot. But aside from that, yeah, you could tell Cueva started stepping up. He knew he needed to put in more passes. Carrillo seemed like he was helping out a lot in the back. Like I said, you have Corzo stepping up, playing a great game, completely unexpected from my end. And you continue to see, you know, Callens and Zambrano putting in work. Like I said, Zambrano is another player that's criticized heavily, but I guess I'm a Zambrano defender. Zambrano will never make that mistake that Santa Maria made in previous games where he held onto the ball too long or he was playing around in the box. That's not going to happen with Zambrano. Zambrano's a much more serious player. Whether that, you know, gets him a chance of getting carded more frequently, you know, it's something that happens. Sometimes you need a defender that is willing to put in the dirty work. I think a lot of teams in the world have that guy. So we were using him to his potential. And then when Gareca saw that, you know, he needed to make a change, put in Araujo, it worked perfectly. Put in Abraham also. Okay, Abraham was a little shaky in the beginning, but then he, you know, it had been a while since he played, and then he started putting in work. He closed this side, in my opinion. And it was just an excellent performance from the starting defenders and the people that replaced them. So I'm very content with that on my end.
Yeah, it's like to echo what I said earlier, they seem to have that game plan. Tactically, they knew everyone's role. So if someone got brought in to replace them, they knew exactly what they were stepping into, and Gareca had them so well organized for this game. Prior to the goal, there was a couple of points that really sort of, I think, started to make me think at in the moment, maybe the luck's changing, maybe all this hard work's gonna give us something. There was a moment where Yerry Mina went down. I think the referee went to give a penalty, but the hearts were in the mouths as we looked across to the linesman. It turned out he was offside. There was a point where Carrillo almost turned the ball into his own net when James smashed across lower into the box, and we managed to get the goal kick. The referee didn't see the touch from Carrillo. It could have gone anywhere, could have gone in. And then I think it was Abraham as well, who at one point Tapia couldn't get rid of the ball in the box. The possession turned over. And Abraham seemed to always head it towards goal. And then it was an incredible save from Gayese. Such amazing quick reflexes. Renato, there was these little moments that seemed to think, we've worked so hard, maybe the luck is on our side.
Yeah, I mean, I can say that first of all, I want to also give a massive shout out to Aldo Corso, though, because he has completely shut me up. Because I am honestly not the biggest fan of Aldo Corso. I don't think he's the fastest player. I do think at times he could be like his slow pace can be costly. And honestly, I don't think he contributes anything to the attack. But Gareca knows that in a game like against Colombia, where the wingers are going to be like a bunch of Rottweilers trying to eat up your area, you need someone to mark down, like someone like Luis Diaz, and Aldo Corso did that job rightfully so. And I do think Aldo Corso has proved me wrong, and I have now great respect for him for that game. But honestly, like, if you think about it, Peru in general was like, they were playing a full-on defensive game. Like, they had to defend from every chance of any Colombia corner, like Colombia counterattack. Like every Colombia free kick, like it was a tough game, but even you could say if luck was on our side, like the one thing Colombia did not do was just capitalize on their chances. And the problem with them recently is that they have not been scoring. And thankfully, it came to our side that we capitalized this and we took that counterattack as a chance. And honestly, I gotta say that the moment Cueva put Wilmar Barrios to absolute shame was just satisfying to watch. But considering that we're talking about Christian Cueva, I do think we have to also transition to something that Cueva is gonna be out for the Ecuador match due to a yellow card count, and no Cueva could be very bad news for Peru going for the next match.
Yeah, definitely. That's gonna be a tough one. He was brilliant once again, and the celebrations of the goal. You saw Cueva running over to Gareca and celebrating with him as that ball went in. Kevin, let's go to the goal. We've spoken about how hard Peru had worked, and we've mentioned a couple of times how Flores came on and he looked lively. In the friendlies, it was his first game back for a long time. He's struggled in the MLS with injuries this year. He's not been healthy for long periods, and he's trying to work his way back. There was a little bit of a worry at first from people, I think, because we're not there in training. We don't see exactly how he's looking in training, but Gareca knew that he was ready, and my God, was he?
Absolutely. Flores was much livelier than what we saw him in the friendly against Panama, in my opinion. I didn't expect him to really get that many minutes. I kind of saw that he would get on the field, on the pitch, at some point in the second half, but I didn't think it would be from the get. I didn't think Gareca saw him as ready for that. And that completely, you know, changed the game for us eventually, because he kept getting into good positions. You know, you had at that point, Ormeño was on. Ormeño drew two defenders to the right. Flores is pulling to the left. Cuevita, I think he broke his man in the midfield, sent that through ball, got it to us. But besides the lovely end part right there, you had work from, I believe, Araujo recovered the ball in that play. I think he got it over to Carrillo. Carrillo got it over to Cueva. Like, you had so many players involved in this. It showed that we could be dangerous in a counterattack. I think that was the most frustrating thing for Gareca in the first half, where we were toothless, to be honest. We were definitely good in defense, but the counterattack was not at the level that we had done previously in other matches or in the last qualifying cycle. So it was a little bit unexpected because of the way we had messed up previous counterattacks in that same match. But Flores saw his chance and he's like, all right, I'm going to kill it. And he went for the near post. Ospina was there. Like, he just shot his shot and see what would happen. And thankfully, it was a powerful shot. It got by Ospina on his post, and it changed the game for us. After that, besides the fact that, you know, my voice was hoarse, everything looked positive in that game. I didn't think we could do any wrong at that point. I was like, we're going to shut it down. We're just going to shut down this game. And even then, that's not what we did, because we still had two more chances after that, I believe. We couldn't capitalize. I think we were surprised by the way the game was going. But we definitely pulled it together in the last, I want to say, 20 minutes of the second half, and we're looking for more goals. If it had ended 2-0, maybe undeserved, but I mean, I think Colombia had the same outcome back in the first match of, what was it, 2015, when Gareca first started the qualifying cycle.
Yeah, that goal absolutely shut down the game for Colombia. You could see the almost the exasperation on their faces. Renato, Flores went through there, and his finish was at the near post. Ospina was there. It seems for Colombia, it seemed a horrible way to concede. For us, it seemed incredibly fortunate, but well deserved from a Peruvian point of view. Tell me your feelings as that goal went in.
Honestly, the moment I saw that goal, I just felt like it was just satisfying. Like, sure, maybe like we were sitting down too deep around like the whole game, but when it comes to counterattacks in football, I feel like you got to find the perfect moment, like the counterattack, and you cannot waste that opportunity. And thankfully, that opportunity was not wasted. And it did, like, maybe perhaps Ospina was a bit like, was probably falling asleep at that point. And like, I don't think Ospina even didn't try any attempt to save that. But even then, like, I saw, like, when Flores was running, Yerimino, or I think either one of Yerimino or Davison Sanchez was on Aldo Corzo's slow mode trying to stop him. But Flores managed to outrun them and score them. But I also got to, I have said it before, Christian Cuevas, like his counterattack was top notch, like, especially that pass. Like, we can, like, I feel like with this qualifier cycle, it's a redemption arc for Christian Cueva, considering that he has 5 goals and 1 assist in this current cycle. I think he's on a mission to prove himself after missing that penalty since Denmark, and we now are being reminded why he was important for us to reach Russia in 2018. And I'd say he's already important for us to dream about Qatar 2022. And I gotta say, I'm happy for Fuevo Flores for proving us wrong after so long.
Yeah, they were. Quavo was, he was fantastic for lots of periods. He was him and their career at times when you just, when you couldn't see that we'd be able to keep possession for a few seconds or try and work the ball up pitch. If it got into, if it got to their feet, they were able to bring that ball away. And with Colombia piling forward, I think we had two more counter-attacks throughout the game. There's a point where Quavo is running through the middle just a couple of minutes after the goal, and he's carrying it forward and carrying it forward. Ormeño pulls left, and Bucuria keeps going, and Cueva, sorry, keeps going, and he's caught. Unfortunately, thought, oh, just go to the corner or play Emilio Ormeño out wide, one of the two. But Colombia win the ball back. There's a point where Carrillo receives the ball out on the right wing, and he's holding it up, just trying to waste that time. Like, three Ecuadorian players are with him, and he just makes one little quick turn, and he's beaten all three, and he's going off into the box. And at that point, Kevin, four players had just sprinted forward. We had about a 4-on-1 or 4-on-2 in the box, and we just thought, oh, just play it across. Let's settle this game. Let's make it 2-0. And Carrillo just gets closer and closer and closer to the goalie. It goes out for a corner eventually. But it was, you could see that Colombia was... we're struggling to come to terms with what had happened, and Peru had got control of the game in those last 10 minutes, hadn't they?
I mean, yeah, I do think, like, when you think about it, it's like, as I kept saying before, we were going crazy, like, trying to hold, like, Colombia off. But you also got to think also how much, like, this result means to us, because a year ago from before, like, we were in a bad position in the qualifiers. We only had, like, I think in May, before we had the game in Quito, I think we were in, like, second to last place, and everyone just thought it was just doomsday for us, that we would not, like, us streaming for Qatar was over, because we got to keep in mind that we had a terrible start in the qualifiers. I think it was, like, 4 losses and 1, like, draw. Like, it was just awful. But I think ever since that game in Quito, is that Gareca has raised, like, the spirit of this team. We may not be the most talented, of course. Maybe we don't have players playing in top European teams, especially considering this, which just also makes the whole win against Colombia away makes feel so special, because you're playing against an 11 that are players playing in teams like Porto, in Tottenham. You're playing Juventus, like, those teams, like, you're playing for top teams, that they lose to a bunch of players who are playing in Mexico, MLS, or in some cases in Liga 1. It doesn't matter where you play at. It matters, like, how can you get the best of these players? Because in international football, everything's on the high pressure and things are different. And that's what makes you appreciate a coach like Gareca. He can get you the best, like, out of a squad that's not talented, but he will get you the results. And that's why we love him. And we just got to feel, enjoy him for how much he is.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And that puts Peru up in fourth now. So we're 4 points behind Ecuador, who we go on to play on Tuesday. The 1 point ahead of Uruguay in fifth. And now we're 3 points away from Colombia in sixth. And Chile just below them, a point behind Colombia in seventh. So we go into this next game knowing that a win is vital, really, just to ensure that we can go into the final two games, knowing that the destiny's in our own hands, so to speak. We're lucky to have Martin Benitez of the Ecuadorian Heroes with Renato. He's speaking about that game, which we'll go on to after we have a little chat about our thoughts on Peru's chances going into this next game. Kevin, we'll see some changes that are being enforced. With Cueva being suspended, do you anticipate Flores just to be a like-for-like replacement?
Yes. Looking at the next match, I think Flores will end up starting. I think Corso was also suspended, so Avíncula's back. and Trauco is back from suspension, and Lopez may have taken a knock. It's too early for me to see, or I haven't found any information on that yet. So I could see the fullbacks changing to Advíncula and Trauco, and Flores for Cueva. I think that's probably the lineup, 4-3-3, that we will use against Ecuador at home. And I like it. I like it. I have full faith in all of these guys. They've played together now for years. Flores and Trauco have known each other for ages, since back when they played at La U. Avíncula and Carrillo have a great partnership. And then you got La Padula, who just slid into the attack like a glove. I'm definitely hopeful in that match. And I know that Ecuador is also nursing their own losses, since Ener Valencia, their captain, is suspended. I think he's their second top goal scorer. And their goalkeeper, Dominguez, foolishly got a red card in their last match. So that's also in our favor, I think, because they're not, you know, not going to be at 100%, just like we are also taking some losses. But it's now in our court. It's, you know, with our fans in Lima. It's a match we've won before several times. And Gareca knows how to play this. He knows how to play these games. So I'm definitely very hopeful for the next match. I think Peru could really have in this one. Ecuador came into these qualifying rounds with, I believe, a 6-point cushion. They dropped 2 points to Brazil. And if we beat them in Lima, they've essentially dropped 5 points, and they would only be 1 point ahead of us. So the outcome is very favorable for us if we can get a result.
Yeah, that's it's going to be an incredible game. To bringing it back here to Lima, the fans right behind us. I think this stadium is going to be at 50% capacity for this game. Luckily, I think only a few weeks ago, it was rumored to not be able to have any fans due to this pandemic. But luckily for the side, to have that support behind them is going to be vital. Do you see us playing this similar counter-attacking style that we did against Colombia, or do you think we're going to look to try and attack Ecuador a bit more than we did with Colombia?
I think we'll have to be more offensive from the start. It might be a little bit like when we played Ecuador in the 2016 Copa America, where we started out very strong, then tried to, you know, to see if we can get an early lead, and then try to hold on to possession a bit. Statistically, it never says Peru has a lot of possession at the end of the match, but you can, if you watch the game, you can tell Peru loves being on the ball. It's just in the end of the match, you know, after like the 70th minute or so, we just concede possession, especially if we have a lead and we just go for the counter. So I think that could be something that Gareca tries to do in this match, where we'll try to be more aggressive, try to hold on to the ball for at least, you know, the first, you know, 60, 70 minutes. And then we'll end up conceding the ball and just, you know, holding on or going on the counter. But I don't think it'll be as smothering as this match in Barranquilla yesterday.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Renato, what are your thoughts on the build up to this Ecuador game?
Well, I feel like for both teams, it's going to be a big match for them. I know Ecuador's I know that if they win this match, they're basically already in Qatar. But the one thing I know about this Peru team at this point with Gareca is that we know that Gareca knows how to play against Ecuador in the qualifiers. Like, especially like winning them in massive matches. As Kevin mentioned before, Ecuador are going to be without their captain, Ener Valencia, which could be in our favor, because I don't think Ecuador really has much of a quote-unquote leader in the back. Also, Alexander Dominguez got foolishly sent off against Brazil for an awful challenge on Mateus Cunha. I will say that Cueva suspended is going to hurt a lot because I feel like our whole attack were like revolves around Christian Cueva's like counter like attack runs and also his pace and creative mind. But I do expect Edison Flores to start. I do think Edison Flores hopefully is now confident after scoring that he could be ready to start. Advíncula is going to start, of course, now that Alucorso is suspended. I'm not sure on Marcos Lopez's condition. I don't know if it was just a simple knock or maybe that something, maybe he might not be fit for the match, but you just hope Miguel Trauco will be ready because I don't think he's played in almost a month. So we'll see how it goes. But I think we can go either 4-3-3 for this Ecuador game. I just hope that La Padula once again score against Ecuador because I do think that's his favorite like opponent to make, like to harass against, if you ask me.
Yeah, so we're I think along with you too, there's optimism going into this game from a Peruvian side, and I'm delighted to say that we've got an interview between Renato speaking with Martin Benitez to get more of the Ecuadorians' point of view going into this game.
All right. And now I'm here with Martin Benitez of Ecuadorian Heroes. You guys can follow him on Twitter through Ecuador Heroes on Twitter. Possibly one of the most reliable like guys when it comes to Ecuadorian soccer news in English. And he's been a great addition in this podcast that we're going to be introducing. Martin, introduce yourself.
Hey, Renato. Thanks for the introduction. My name is Martin Benitez. Like Renato said, I run the Ecuador Heroes account. That's on Twitter, Instagram. I'm glad to be here. Shout out the Peruvian Waltz.
We're so happy to have you. We've been planning to have someone like through like another country's point of view, like to see what everything would be if we had more point of views. And we'd like to like see like the Peruvians interact with the other fans of the other South American countries. So, Martin, there's some stuff I want to ask you today. So first of all, tell me now, like, what do you think of the current state of the Ecuadorian national team?
The current state of our national team. I think we're in very good hands. This team has been worldwide underrated, but I think the people of South America know what this team is bringing to the table. We have a lot of young talent. Most of our team, I think our team averages age of 24, 25 years old. And we have a squad. We have a team who are right now currently in third place in the World Cup qualifiers in South America with 3 games left to play. So we're looking at Qatar 2022. The people are happy. We're hallucinated and we're ready for Qatar, honestly.
I can definitely see that. When I look at the Ecuador right now compared to the Ecuador from the previous qualifying cycle, it's just like a huge 9-day comparison where you just go from like bland center backs in a bland midfield to like players like Moises Caicedo, Piero Hincapié, and like Imperis Estupiñán. And you could definitely see like Ecuador's going through like a quote unquote golden generation of like of younger players like stepping in. And it's definitely something because if you realize some of these players are like very young, like they still haven't reached their prime yet. And currently in the position that Ecuador are in, like the third place currently, you just wonder like how like the great job that Gustavo Afaro has done with this current Ecuador side, this after failure ever since like they qualified in the 2014 World Cup.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. Like you said, the change has been massive. And it's not even been 4 years, 3 years ago. We're talking about this year. Every year is changing. For example, Piero Hincapié, he's our starting center back. He had his debut in the Copa America 7 months ago for the Ecuador national team. He's now playing for Bayer Leverkusen, had his 20th birthday last week. So it's definitely exciting. It's a golden generation for sure. We've never seen anything like this. Our most veteran players, Angel Mena, Ener Valencia, Dominguez Galindez, the goalkeepers, that's 3-4 players the rest are all under 25, 26 years, 26 years old, and it's very nice to see.
Oh, and absolutely. And that's not even all to mention, like, I'm a huge fan of Felix Torres, an underrated center back in the Liga MX. And I've seen that ever since, like, Alfaro has placed the center back pairing of Hincapié and Torres, you definitely see, like, Ecuador has really grew strong defensively. It was a bold move for them, like, to drop, like, an experienced, like, center back like Robert Obereda from the starting lineup. But it's now, yeah, it seems like the defensive results have really stepped up a lot since then.
Yeah, we're talking about Roberto Arboleda. He plays for Sao Paulo, the team Dani Alves was on last year and before he got his move back to Europe. He's a great center back. He's our veteran. I think he's 29, 30 years old. He was definitely the starter in 2020. 2021, Felix Torres, he just turned 25 this month, plays for Club Santos in Mexico. And a great center back, was never called up. Alfaro called him up. He was there a few times without playing while Arboleda was in. He got his chance. He excelled. And now he's given us points. He got the game-tying goal versus Brazil the other day.
Oh, that is something great to know. And now, considering that we are talking about the Ecuador national team, just like yesterday, as of this recording of this segment, that Ecuador tied in against Brazil in Quito, which I would say for them is like a great result, because, like, especially considering how crazy that match was, where, like, Dominguez, yeah, was sent off for a ninja style challenge, and then, like, Emerson Royal of Brazil got, like, sent off, and then Alisson, who should have been sent off twice, he's managed to stay on. Like, it was a crazy game. Like, how do you think this whole match went for you guys?
Yeah, it was funny. I got to be there at the stadium. I was there. It was a roller coaster. Anyone who saw the game, just crazy, crazy. By the fifth minute, Brazil got the opening goal in Quito. We had a lot of illusion that Brazil team was coming in tough. The players there, great players. Coutinho, Cunha, Vinicius Jr., Rafinha, Casemiro. It was crazy. But we made Brazil suffer. We had some great opportunities. Some we couldn't finish. An Ender Valencia header that in the first half that could have gone in. But we started the second half strong. Like you said, Dominguez got a red card, but Brazil got a red card. And Emerson, Alisson got sent off twice. They VAR checked it twice and he was saved. Finished the game with just a yellow card. Man, what a game. I was hoping for the 3 points, but I'll take the point versus Brazil. We made them suffer, and we really made them. We had some players like Thiago Silva, Alisson Becker, who were just crying to the ref. They didn't want to lose the invicto that they have here in the World Cup qualifiers, but it was great to see a team like that suffer. I think they're the World Cup winners candidates, so... Yeah, I liked it. I liked how we played.
Yeah, I mean, to make a team like Brazil suffer, because honestly, that Brazil team was just at its worst today, like that day, because, like, the moment, like, Emerson Royal had to be taken off due to a red card, they also had to take Felipe Coutinho off, and that's where, like, their whole match, it just suddenly disappeared, and they were just, yeah, like I say, the whole, like, players were just running around like headless chickens, and... I just feel like it was just fun. Like, and I definitely can tell for an Ecuadorian fans that they were glad enough to get at least the point in Quito, because if they didn't, it would have been scary to know, to think that a point like that would be taken away and they would be coming into more pressure in the Peru match, which is actually where we're heading in, because as of this recording on Tuesday night, Peru face Ecuador in Lima, and knowing to see how you feel as an Ecuadorian, tell me, what do you think of this upcoming match? Because there's been a lot of things are heating up between both sides.
Yeah, just the context of the thing, there's 3 games left for the teams that are trying to qualify third, fourth, and fifth place. It goes down to basically Ecuador, Peru, Uruguay, and Colombia. one of those are not going to make it. And there's three games left. Like I said, Peru at home to Ecuador is a huge match, a huge opportunity for Peru to take advantage. I think all of Peru should know. They know that. Their team knows that. The people know that. They're trying to get a point, the 3 points maybe if they can. But at the same time, Ecuador is in need of a draw to not to basically qualify third or fourth place, not go to that fifth place playoff spot. So I think some players, like we saw Pervis Estupiñán after the Brazil match, there are some images of him truly upset over the tie against Brazil, which I liked. He's one of our most experienced players on this national team. That's crazy to say because he just turned 24 years old. But I like his attitude. I think we're going to go to Peru with a tough mentality, try to get a result. And it's going to be a game for the ages. I remember Peru beat Ecuador here in Quito last May in 2021. So it's going to be a good game. I think Ecuador is going for the win. I think Peru is going for the win. What do you think, Renato?
Oh, it's going to be an intense match. I mean, the one thing I can definitely tell for this Ecuadorian national team is that I think their mentality is revenge, because I feel that for them, that losing in Quito really hurt them a lot, especially to lose at home, especially with a direct rival against Peru. But even as a speaking in Peru's point of view, is that, man, they have really like turned the table so much ever since that win. Like, I thought we would not currently be in fourth place, at least for a ticket to direct qualification to Qatar. But here we are, and I feel like for Peru, like, to ensure that, their mind is that they have to win this match in Lima, because they need to win at least their last two matches in at home, because we really haven't won much matches at home in the qualifiers. We lost awfully to Brazil in the first day of qualifiers. Sucks to lose against Argentina. And also Colombia at home, which also was awful, but thankfully we're able to get that revenge against Barranquilla, which was
is huge.
Oh, I'm massively huge. But I feel like with this upcoming match, like, both teams know that at least a win could at least ensure them of a direct place in Qatar, because even though there's also the fifth place playoff, really, you just want to go straight to Qatar. You don't want to deal with another, like, too much training sessions, like, under such pressure. Agreed. For the playoffs. Now, the last thing I want to ask you before we hit off the segment, how do you see, the Ecuadorian national team going forward now? Because we're already in the sunset of qualifiers. Like, even if they do reach the Qatar, what do you think? And what if they don't reach the Qatar? Do you still think there's lots to be explored with this current Ecuadorian national team?
I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but I think we're 100% in Qatar. So I don't even see us not qualifying as a scenario. Truly, honestly, I think at worst we'll go to the fifth place. But we'll see. I think in the World Cup, if you tell me, where do you see us playing by mid-November there in Qatar? It all depends on our group stage. I think we can give us anybody. You can give us a top European team and then mix in another European team, an African team. I don't know. I say we get our group stage 100%, I think. And depending on the round of 16, I think we can get into the top 8. And we'll see what happens. I think this team is, like I mentioned before, one of the best Ecuadorian teams we've seen in our history. And with this talent, we're only going to get 10 months, 11 months older from right now. So I think, top 8, top 16 of the World Cup.
Great mentality there. It's not over until it's over, of course, but yeah. I do think that there could be a great chance. Well, how I see this current Ecuadorian national team, I do think that they're looking to get the direct qualification to Qatar. But we'll see how both directions of the teams will go after Tuesday night, because on Tuesday night, 9 p.m. EST, is Peru versus Ecuador in Lima. A can-miss match. put them like that on your notebooks, everyone. Martin, thank you so much for coming in as a guest to the Peruvian Waltz podcast. Before we hit off, where do you want to like everyone to know where they can follow you at, and like just see like if anyone wants to get to know you better?
Yeah, thank you so much, Renato. So glad to be here at the Peruvian Waltz podcast. It's nice to have a word with my Peruvian brothers here. Renato, a longtime friend of mine. You guys can follow me at Ecuador Heroes on Twitter, Instagram. I even opened up a TikTok. I do football training there. I'm a coach, so check that out. Thank you, Renato. And yeah, hope you guys like this.
And thank you for joining us. And we'll see you then.
All right. Thank you for that, Renato. It was great to hear how Martin feels, how they're prepared and how they're going. Seems confident that Ecuador can be going on to Qatar. Kevin, do you feel that Ecuador are safe now? Do you think that, do you think that this game could drag them back into a bit of a fight with Peru if Peru come out victorious?
So if Peru comes out victorious in this match, I think we'll be at 1 point from them. So they are back in the race. You know, they are back in the thick of it to get to the World Cup. Obviously, they're still in a good position, but at that point, you know, Peru will be 1 point behind them. Uruguay is likely going to get the 3 points against Venezuela. I'm rooting for Venezuela, though. And then they would be, I believe, 2 points behind Ecuador. So they would be neck and neck with us at this point, and that makes it more complicated for them. Because it's different, you know, going into the World Cup as third place in a direct qualifying spot, as opposed to ending up in fifth in the playoff position, the international playoff position, especially for Ecuador, because it might be throwing off their logistics. They might have faced some more stress, you know, playing against. I think they have Argentina in the last match, so that one's going to be difficult. It's Paraguay at home, so that's going to be a difficult match. Paraguay loves to make upsets in their last matches. If you saw the last qualifying cycle, they beat Chile away and Colombia away when everyone thought they were already dead. So it's not the best ending for Ecuador in March if they can't get any kind of result against us. So I believe they're going to have to go at this match, you know, full steam. It's going to be very competitive. I don't think either side is going to have a high advantage against the other, but I do think it would be very entertaining for the fans on both sides, and especially the people that don't have any stakes in the match.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting and nerve-wracking all over again. Renato, I love speaking with Martin. Is there a player in Ecuador that you think we really need to be concerned about? Who's there, like someone who you think could be a game changer for them?
I'd say two players. The first player would be Piero Hincapié. Not long ago, Piero Hincapié was an uncapped player for Ecuador, but ever since he came to Ecuador in the Copa America, I honestly think our defense has improved quite a lot under him. Almost 21 years old, and he plays like if he was like playing like as an international player for years. Very good defensively, but also very good on the ball. Like this, his distributing. Like you can definitely see some of Ecuador's buildup comes from like Piero Hincapié at the back. But I also think we also got to be careful of Gonzalo Plata. I think he's a very great dribbler, and he's Ecuador's like main danger force that to be careful of. He plays on the right, so either Miguel Trauco or Marcos Lopez will have to do their best to contain him. But even then, I do think Peru will need to like to think of a game plan to beat Ecuador at home, because even though we just beat Colombia away, we still have to win these like those last two home matches, because winning those home matches are a must. We can't afford to lose another one, because early in the qualifiers we lost, I think, the first three, and that really hurt a lot. But I do think that it's Ecuador. You have to consider that even though they're close to qualifying, they consider Peru a direct rival, and that's what intensifies the game. Like, it's basically a clasico for them, so it's going to be an intense game for both opponents, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's one everyone will be looking forward to, and we have that in Lima on Tuesday, and that's where we go to. Before we sign off for today, Kevin, give us some of your final thoughts on going into that Ecuador game, and if you can give us a player who you think was outstanding in the Colombia game, who you think can give us who's going to give us a really big performance against Ecuador as well.
Okay, you guys can follow me at kmontalvan7 on Twitter, and I think my player of the match in the Colombia game, I'm going to give it to Cueva. I think he needed to step up, and he did at the end. Creating all the chances for Peru, and that really put us in a position I didn't expect us to be in. As unfortunately, he's suspended against Ecuador, so that is going to be a challenge that I think is going to have to be. We're going to need, I want to say, Peña to step up. I think Peña will be the 10, or as close to a 10 as we'll have in that match. Yeah, definitely. It's going to be something to watch, and keep following us for great content here at the Waltz. And thank you for being here with us, guys.
Thanks, Kevin. Renato, let's sign off from you and some of your player of the matches and player to watch out for against Ecuador.
You guys can follow me at Renato_Sun on Twitter. So if I have to say a player of the match, I have to agree with Kevin. Christian Cueva is a player of the match. We keep realizing how important Cueva is to this national team, and possibly will be considered, be remembered as one of like the figures of the Gareca era for years to come. It's going to hurt that Christian Cueva is not going to be with us for the Ecuador match, but that's what we hope, that Eddie Flores will step in on the left wing and that Peña will step in, because this next match against Ecuador is that we want to win to be assured of more like chances to qualify to Qatar. And I hope that happens. And I hope that everyone has a great day, and hopefully on Tuesday we win.
Hopefully so. But yeah, you can follow me at Mike Rice 1983. For me, it was player of the match. I had to give it to let's give it to Alvaro Corzo for such an incredible performance from him. Something that wasn't so expected, to say the least. I think Colombia probably were trying to target him from the start, and he stood up to it and battled through the entire 90 minutes and proved why he'd earned his place. And going into this Ecuador game, I think for me, like every game we go into, Pedro Gallese is the man that you can rely on when we're under pressure. And he's the man that seems to keep the defence confident as well, knowing that he's behind them. It starts Peru off on the right foot. They know that they've got the best goalkeeper that they can have behind them, and we can push on and look for that win. And Let's hope we get it. Kevin, Renato, thanks once again. And let's hope for some good result on that Tuesday. Thanks very much, guys.